Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Yasoda nandana pradana randana Yamuna tira Yamuna tira Jaya radha madhava Kunja vihari Jaya radha madhava Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Right. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Bhagavan's Maharaj, Gacharya, Asana, the Sisa Vedasi, Akhbadana, Sansa, Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Namachar, Haridas, Thakur, Ki Jai, Ram Sugaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sisa, Gadadhan, Shosa, Gaur, Bhakti, Rindi, Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopida, Shama Kondo Radha, Kudde, Gidi Govardhan, Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan, Dham, Ki Jai, Navadip, Dham, Ki Jai, Ganga, Jamuna, Tulsi, Bhakti, Devi, Ki Jai, Anantakoti, Vaishnava, Rindi, Ki Jai, Samavetta Maktavindiki Jai, Go Premanandi. All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guru and glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Shivadaya Krishna Pristai Buddhade Shimadi Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 35, Verse 4. Panta Chitram Abala Srinutedam Haraha Saurasi Stira Vidyut Nanda Sunurayam Arta Jananam Narmado Yarhi Kujita Venu. Hanta, ah, chitram, wonder, abala, oh girls, srinuta, here, idam, this, hara, brilliant like a necklace, hasa, whose smile, urasi, upon whose chest, stira, emotionless, vidyut, lightning, Nandasuno, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am this, Arta, troubled, Jananam, four persons, Narma, joy, Da, giver, Yarhi, when, Kujita, has vibrated, Venu, his flute. Translation. O girls, this son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute of Raja's bulls, deers, and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Purport, the word Stira Vidyut, a steady lightning, refers to the goddess of fortune who resides on the chest of the Supreme Lord. When the animals of Vrindavan hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned in ecstasy, and thus they stop chewing their food and cannot swallow it. The gopis, in separation from Krishna, marvel at the extraordinary effect of the Lord's flute playing. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following explanation of the compound word harahasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklaces. Because while Krishna plays the flute, he bends his head down and smiles. The word can also mean he whose smile, like a jeweled necklace, casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly, just like a smile. So in the previous verse, we saw how the gopis were glorifying the sound of the flute because it captivated the wives of the devatas, and they all had ecstatic symptoms. So here, there is another effect of the flute of Krishna after describing Krishna himself. So this verse actually just describes Krishna, and then the next verse describes the effect on the animals, who are, you know, inferior to human beings and inferior to the devatas. So Krishna's flute affects higher living entities like devatas and devatas' wives, and it also affects lower living entities, those who are lower than the human beings, that is the animals. So this verse describes the Krishna playing the flute, just as the previous verse also described how he had his cheek resting on his shoulder, and he was had the flute in his mouth. So here we have another attractive description of Krishna. So we have many descriptions here of the beauty of Krishna in prema and rasa. The basic ingredient there is the devotee and Krishna. So unless there are attractive features in Krishna, there will not be any prema. Krishna has to have all beauty and all wonderful qualities. In these verses, the gopis will glorify and describe Krishna, and this will indicate why they're attracted to him, because of his astonishing beauty and qualities. So here we have this beauty of Krishna described. His smile is described as being like that of a brilliant necklace, sparkling like a necklace. And we see in other places also his smile is described, his particular smile is described as being very, very attractive. So this is one outstanding feature of Krishna. Of course, the smile will indicate that he is pleased and very affectionate. So it indicates his great compassion and his loving nature. And on his chest he has lightning, which is stira, which means motionless. Normally lightning flashes and it's gone, disappears immediately. And of course it may go like this in the sky, go here and there. But here it is stationary, which is not normal for lightning. So this is a type of poetic device or alankar, ornament, to by the combination of words to
show something very extraordinary, a lightning, but it's different lightning because it doesn't flash, it stays there. And this refers, of course, to a goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. Now, Lakshmi is usually called Chanchala, in the material world at least, because wealth doesn't stay with anybody. It disappears, or you spend it, or whatever, so it's unsteady in that sense. Huh? So that's the material wealth. But we know, of course, that Lakshmi is eternally with Vishnu in the spiritual world. So in that sense, she's steady with Vishnu. She's chanchala for material people, but she's very faithful to Vishnu. Mm-hmm. So, but what about Krishna? Actually, the gopis are the consorts of Krishna, and Radha is the consort of Krishna, not Lakshmi. Lakshmi's not even qualified. But on Krishna's chest, there is a golden line. And this describes that golden line, which is like stationary, motionless lightning that shines. So that golden line, the story behind that golden line is that Krishna gave some blessing to Lakshmi, that she could rest on his chest, so in this way, but not in Lakshmi form. So she can only take the form of a golden line. So that's how she can associate with Krishna, as a golden line on his chest. So this describes that golden line, which is flashing like lightning. So this adds some beauty to Krishna. And here he's also called the son of Nanda. And Nanda is a cowherd. So they identify Krishna not as Supreme Lord, but as son of a cowherd. But though he is the son of a cowherd, he's very, very beautiful, and he has a wonderful smile, and he can give joy to suffering people. Now, of course, we know Supreme Lord is person who delivers all people from suffering, Patita Pavan, etc. But the gopis don't think of Krishna as Supreme Lord. They're thinking of the person who delivers people from their suffering to indicate themselves. They are suffering. So he's the only one that can deliver them from suffering. That's the intention here. Not that he's describing Supreme Lord, but he's describing Krishna, how he can take away their suffering. Of course, he takes away the suffering of all the people in Vrindavan also by appearing before them, but particularly here the gopis are singing this song in separation. When Krishna is in the forest with the cowherd boys. So, therefore, this particularly refers to themselves. But they always don't express this directly as well, because sometimes the elders are there, so they cannot particularly express their love for Krishna directly in front of the elders, so it's a little bit disguised. So they make a general statement here. Krishna has a wonderful smile. He has this mark on his chest, and he takes away the pain of all living entities. So that's describing one of his qualities. Kuchita Venu. That means he's playing his flute. So as in the previous verse, there is a description of Krishna playing the flute. As I said, the flute playing of Krishna is one of the four outstanding qualities of Krishna, the sweet flute. So we see here a whole series of verses glorifying that flute along with Krishna. So definitely the flute is a very special paraphernalia of Krishna, because the gopis keep describing this flute in relation to Krishna. So here we have a second verse describing the flute. And then what happens is they describe the effect of the flute again. And not only does it affect the wives of the devatas and put them into ecstasy of prema, But it even affects the animals. And not just the cows, but the deer and the bulls and all the animals are affected by the sound of the flute. So they're all standing there, and it describes how the ears are very alert, standing alert. And in their mouths they have food, half-chewn food, which they don't swallow. It just remains in their mouth, and they can't even chew it anymore. So they become motionless completely, and therefore it describes here that they are like likita chitram. That means drawings or paintings. So when we draw a painting of a cow or an animal, it doesn't move. It's not capable of moving. It's only a picture. So it appears like the cows and the other animals have turned into pictures. They don't move at all. Just as you take a photograph, and then nothing moves there. So everything stops suddenly. The cows stop chewing, and the deer stop chewing. They don't wander. Nothing happens. Nothing moves at all. Everything becomes stationary. So why is this? It's again because out of their ecstasy, they become stunned. So this is one of the eight sattvika bhavas, which is one component of rasa. Sattvika bhavas are the involuntary symptoms of love generated by a very strong emotion internally, and it causes disturbance to the life airs in relation to the different elements, and then this causes the various sattvika bhavas, like the water element becomes disturbed, and then we get tears or something like that. So one of the symptoms is being stunned, called stamba. Means no motion. You can't move, can't walk, can't do anything. So this is what happens to the animals. They become completely stunned. In the case of the devata women, their belts became loosened. So that's a common symptom also for the gopis, that when they have ecstatic symptoms, their belts become loose out of love for Krishna. So here we find that the animals, of course they don't wear belts, so all they can do is express their joy somehow or other. So one of these symptoms is completely motionless. They cannot move their limbs of their bodies. They can't even swallow their food. They can't chew their mouths even. And at the same time, their ears are listening to that sound of the flute. So this indicates that sound of the flute is very, very powerful. It can bewilder the wives of the devatas, and it causes all the animals to become completely stunned. They cannot move. So one of the characteristics of the flute is it causes things to attain an opposite nature. So living entities become non-living. They stop moving. They can't move anymore. And non-moving entities, like the plants, they start moving. They develop symptoms of hair standing on end or whatever. Or the river, which is a moving non-living entity, stops. It becomes opposite of what it usually is. Or the solid rock, which is solid, changes and becomes opposite. It's liquid and it flows, it melts. When everything hears the sound of the flute. So in other words, it's got a very mysterious power. So sometimes the gopis, they criticize the flute, that it is like a magic spell. It's like the magician or the tantric comes and he casts a spell or something like that. So they say that the flute has a mantra, some mysterious mantra that affects everything like this and causes all these transformations and everything, like some bewilderment of everything, like a mystic power or something, all coming from the flute. So it's not, of course Krishna is Yogeshwarasura. He's the master of all mystics. He's the best of all yogis, he has all siddhis or whatever, so he can do that. But actually, the nature of the flute is that it's not that it's really mystical as such, but everyone experiences sweetness to such a degree that they develop these ecstatic symptoms of love. So in other words, the sound of the flute, when one hears the sound of the flute, one develops prema, and then the ecstatic symptoms manifest. So that is the special nature of Krishna's flute. Though Krishna in Vrindavan also kills demons in different ways, generally he doesn't use a weapon. We don't see the Sudarshan Chakra in Vrindavan. So he kills Putana by sucking out her life air, or he kills Trinavarta becoming very heavy and holding onto his neck, and then Trinavarta falls out of the sky. Or he kills Sakatasura by just raising his little leg and kicking the cart. Sakatasura is finished. Or he goes into the mouth of Agasura, and then he chokes him. In his throat, he expands himself and he suffocates him, and then he walks out again. So he doesn't generally use any weapons. Sometimes he uses his fists, of course, in fighting with different demons, like Keshi or whatever. But he doesn't have any weapons as such. He does have, on the other hand, the flute. And with that flute, of course, it's not a weapon. Rather than using weapons, he is famous for his flute, which makes everyone experience prema. We see Vishnu is famous for his chakra, Sudarshan Chakra, and with his chakra he kills all the demons. So he's one of his famous paraphernalia is the Sudarshan Chakra. But the famous paraphernalia of Krishna and Vrindavan is his flute. And what does it do? It doesn't kill demons. It produces prema. And sweet prema. So it is so powerful that it affects everyone, even the animals and the plants or whatever like that. It is so sweet. So in this way, the gopis are actually indicating themselves by saying that if the flute can do this to even the most advanced persons, and even the most lower living entities like the animals, lower birth animals with lower senses, etc., then we're not at fault if we hear the flute and we also become completely enchanted with Krishna. Everybody else, everything gets completely affected by the flute. So why not us also? You cannot blame us if we run off to the forest in the Rasa Leela, whatever, because we hear the flute. And we are also completely overcome by that sound. This glorification, therefore, serves not only to glorify Krishna and the sweetness and the flute, etc., but it gives an excuse for them. They're not at fault for neglecting everything and running off to Krishna or thinking of Krishna at all times, because that flute is most mystical and intoxicating. So it's this whole song actually is different groups of gopis coming together and glorifying Krishna when he is absent. So as I said, this is a type of kirtan. So this is all they can do when Krishna is absent. We saw in the Rasa Leela when Krishna disappeared, they couldn't find his footprints when they went into the forest, so they gave up and they went to the bank of the Jamuna River. And what did they do? They did kirtan. They glorified Krishna. And then Krishna suddenly appeared. So kirtan was their comfort in separation. So here in the daytime, they're experiencing separation. And the kirtan, glorification of Krishna, acts as some sort of solace for them. It makes them peaceful again because they can remember Krishna and experience something of the sweetness. And of course, ultimately, that kirtan is powerful because it will attract Krishna, and Krishna will show himself again. So these are examples of separation from Krishna, which is very temporary. And this happens here in the material pastimes in the material world, happens also in the spiritual world. But later we get a different type of pastime where Krishna, not even in Vrindavan, he leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura. So that's a rather unique type of separation, prolonged separation. So here we find there is some intense feelings due to momentary separation. So when we get that prolonged separation, then we'll get very intense feelings, most intense feelings, and the symptoms become extreme. So that one of the purposes of Krishna in leaving is to show the extreme symptoms. And by that one can understand the intense love that the gopis and all the people of Vrindavan have for Krishna. And then others can witness that. So Uddhava witnesses it. And then he understands that the people of Vrindavan are greater than the Yadus. They're greater than all other persons. They're the greatest devotees of Krishna. And therefore, that is why Krishna is attracted to them. Therefore, these incidents like this will show some aspects of the greatness of their gopis' attraction, because they are in separation from Krishna and therefore experiencing a lot of difficulty. And in this way, they get some pacification.
In the verse, it is said that Krishna is like Artha Jananam. He removed the suffering of the people. So what kind of suffering he is removing here for the brother was?
The pain of separation. Gopis are in separation from Krishna during the daytime, so this, please come back, and then we'll be full of joy. We're distressed now.
But he has some particular time, you know, that only night time will he meet with the gopis. He doesn't meet with the gopis personally in the daytime.
Well, it's described not in Bhagavatam, but in the various works like Govinda Lilamrita and other places. During the daytime, he does have pastimes at noontime. He's herding the cows, and then on some excuse, he disappears from the cowherd boys at noontime, and he meets the gopis at Radhakund or somewhere like that. And then he meets them, and then he comes back to the cowherd boys after that. And then they all have some pastimes, and then they go back home. So in noontime also, on pretext, the gopis go out and collect flowers or go and worship the sun goddess or whatever, like sun god. And at that time, there is some meeting in the daytime also.
That is unmarried gopil, correct? Unmarried gopil?
Hmm?
Married gopil or unmarried gopis? Married gopis or
there's
unmarried
both types.
Both types?
The unmarried ones were those who prayed to Krishna during the Vrata Katyayani. Those were unmarried gopis. But that wasn't all the gopis, so there was others who were already married, apparently. So the unmarried there's two types of gopis, unmarried and married. They both participate in the Rasa Leela. So Krishna fulfilled the desire of the unmarried gopis in the Rasa Leela. They prayed, "Please, we want to be your husband." So then he fulfilled their desire in the Rasa Leela. Other gopis were already married, and describes them leaving their families and whatever like that to join the Rasa Leela. So both types of gopis are there.
And here in this verse is explained about this, the glory of flute. So it's in the Vrindavan, the flute is the instrument by which Krishna gives pleasure to each and everybody. This is the main instrument here. So what we can call it is a flute. But without flute, Krishna is like a, can we say, is like a Vishnu? If flute he doesn't have in Vrindavan, so he becomes Vishnu?
Well, it's one of his main items, of course. He has other things also. In other words, Krishna has so much paraphernalia, like he has his garland, he has his peacock feather, and all these things remind everyone of Krishna. But the flute has a very special role. It's also his messenger. So he gives messages with this also to the gopis and others. So it has a very special role. But so many things are there, paraphernalia of Krishna, which will stimulate their love. He has a buffalo horn as well, and whatever. He has a stick and various ornaments, etc. So his dress, they all stimulate their love. But the flute has a very special role because we see how it affects everything. So Krishna uses that flute too to spread prema everywhere.
So among the four qualities, for he has extra qualities like Venu Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Lila Madhuri and Bhakti Madhuri. So can you say that this flute is the highest?
Oh, well, it's not really said. Well, obviously, they're all different in one sense. We have as Rupa. So without the sweet form, then there's something missing, isn't it? If the form is, the form of Vishnu, it doesn't work properly in Vrindavan. So he has a particular sweet form of a cowherd voice. So that's intrinsic to his sweetness also. And his sweet pastimes, obviously, arise from his sweet form and his sweet qualities and his sweet flute. So the flute itself is used for sweet pastimes like the Rasa Lila, etc. And then we have the sweet devotees. So without the devotees, nothing can happen. No pastimes take place. So all of them are connected together. We can't really separate one from the other.
Yeah.